Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on the US consumer inflation data for the month of September. It did surprise a little bit on the upside, but I don't think it's going to derail the Federal Reserve's decision to cut interest rates at their next meeting in early November. But I think we can unpack some of that in a little bit of detail. The other topic that is around at the moment is obviously the expected stimulus out of China. A while ago, you'll remember that China introduced a monetary policy stimulus, which included interest rate cuts and some direct support for the property market. But what was absent from that was a more comprehensive fiscal stimulus, which the authorities said would be forthcoming. On Saturday, there was a press conference held by the Minister of Finance, and the expectation was that he would announce a more comprehensive fiscal policy. Unfortunately, the detail still wasn't forthcoming. The minister did outline the areas in which the government's going to focus on and that there will be some fiscal stimulus down the line. But I think the indication now is that they need to wait for government approval. There's a meeting at there towards the end of October. And then after that, there will be a more comprehensive announcement. So I think we still expect that the government will provide some direct support measures. You've got the ongoing monetary support in terms of interest rate reductions. And I think the hope is that that will stabilize the Chinese economy and keep the growth rate at around 5%. It seems fairly unlikely that the government would introduce a very substantial stimulus package that will meaningfully lift the growth rate or accelerate it well over 5%. I think it's more likely that the initiative will be aimed at stabilizing the economy, trying to sort out aspects of the residential property market and keep the growth rate going at around 5%. That if that is achieved, that's not a bad outcome. I think longer term, China is facing many structural impediments to growth, and I don't know that they are even starting to address some of those issues. But I think in the short term, the markets will focus on the fiscal stimulus, and I guess the expectation is that that will allow the Chinese economy to grow a little bit stronger during the remainder of this year, and then more importantly, continue growing at around 5% or just below during the course of next year. As I mentioned in the introduction, the US released their inflation data for the month of September last week, and it did surprise a little bit on the upside. The surprise, I guess, was in two areas. The one is at a headline level, inflation rose by 0.2% in the month. The market was thinking or expecting an increase of 0.1%. That's not a huge miss to the upside. Under normal circumstances, an increase of 0.2% is very acceptable within the US, and that over time would allow them to achieve their 2% inflation target. The other element that surprised on the upside was core inflation, which rose by 0.3% in the month. The market was thinking 0.2. 0.3 is a little bit on the high side, and therefore it does require a little bit of investigation. If I unpack some of the data, overall, you would say that energy inflation remains well under control. In fact, it's in deflation. And if we look week on week, gasoline prices tend to be more declining than increasing. And that is despite the ongoing conflict within the Middle East. So I don't think there's an energy inflation problem at the moment. If anything, the energy inflation certainly helping to keep the overall inflation rate fairly subdued. There was, however, a fairly substantial increase in food prices in the month, which went up 0.4%. A bit unclear as to what caused that. Obviously, we break down the categories. There were a range of items that moved up. You know, some meat prices, particularly pork prices, went up. There was an increase in fresh produce, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit went up. Hard to know exactly what caused that. Some of it can be weather-related, but overall, I don't think it's too much of a concern at this stage. We'll have to see what happens next a month, whether or not this is starting to become a trend. But for the moment, we're assuming it was a once-off increase and that overall food inflation remains just over 2% and therefore very acceptable. The other, I guess, pleasing outcome was a moderation in shelter inflation. We've got used to shelter inflation going up by 0.4% in the month. This month it went up by only 0.2%, which is much more in line with the long-term average. What that did was to bring down the annual rate of shelter inflation to 4.9%. Now, that's still high by historical standards. You would ideally want shelter inflation below 3.5%. But it has made meaningful progress. At one point, shelter inflation was up at 8%. So it is steadily moving down. It's taking time. There are various leads and lags that impact the data. But we remain confident that shelter inflation will continue to moderate into next year and ultimately allow the overall inflation rate, particularly the core inflation rate, to go back to the target level of 2% or maybe slightly above 2%. Outside of that, there was another big increase in motor vehicle insurance. That category has gone through a difficult phase. Some of it does relate to catch up in a post-COVID environment, but I think there is opportunistic pricing going on within that industry. And if we look at year-on-year motor vehicle insurance, costs have gone up over 16%. I think it will come down in time. I think, as I said, it's opportunistic. And I think that as the economy, US economy, slows into next year, I would imagine that that category dissipates. Likewise, for airline travel, there was a fairly big increase in airline travel in the month. But again, I don't think that's indicative of any sort of alarming or underlying trend. Where there is a bit more of a concern is in medical inflation, particularly medical services. That number went up more than expected. And overall, you would say there is generally upward pressure on medical prices. That in part reflects the demographics of the US economy. And I don't think that's necessarily going to change. So I think the US will have to deal with a higher average level of medical inflation. But I think that is manageable within the overall context of trying to get inflation down to close to 2% and then sustain it at that level. So there was nothing in the inflation data that really, I think, caused a significant concern. Yes, it did surprise a bit on the upside, but the markets didn't appear to be too phased by that, certainly not the US equity market. The bond market has sold off a little bit, but there are other factors that played into that. So I think it's having more of an impact on bonds than necessarily on equities. And I don't think it derails the interest rate decision-making by the Federal Reserve. They have their next meeting in early November. And I think at this stage, the expectation is the Fed will cut 25 basis points. There were some people a few weeks ago that thought the Fed would cut another 50 basis points. But I think those expectations have disappeared, partly because the inflation data itself has surprised on the upside, but also because the US labor market has been especially strong, and that doesn't fit with a more aggressive reduction in US interest rates. So I think we're on track for a 25 basis points cut in US interest rates in early November. Prior to that, obviously, we've got the US presidential election, and I think that's going to take up an increasing amount of focus and move attention away from some of the normal economic data and kind of draw attention to what are the policy differences between Harris and Trump. At this stage, you would say that Harris is ahead in the polls, not by a huge margin, generally around about 2.5 to 3% in the polls. And going into the election, it's very difficult to call who will actually win. I think what's key for markets is it seems very unlikely that any of the two political parties will win an outright victory in terms of commanding the Senate, the House, and the President. So I think that's very unlikely. And therefore, a divided Congress is not a bad outcome for the US, given the differences in policy approach between the two political parties, and something that therefore offsets those extreme measures, I think, will be more palatable for financial markets. So from my perspective, markets remain fairly well on track to continue to perform. I think there will be, as I said, increased attention on the outcome from the US presidential election. But I'm not convinced that any of that is going to derail the underlying sentiment that the US economy is heading towards a soft landing, that the Fed can continue to cut interest rates at a gradual pace, and that next year we'll see many, many countries cutting interest rates and setting the world economy up for a resumption of growth into 2026, and that would include South Africa. I hope that makes some sense. Thanks for me. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.